nice to win, didn't it? Holy Toledo. On a very tough morning, the day ended wonderfully in the afternoon. I don't know if there was a dry, I don't think there was a dry eye in the radio booth. It was an extremely tough morning for all of us yesterday. It's been a difficult weekend, to say the least. It was a wonderful moment for Browns fans far and wide. And I don't know where the rest of the season goes. I don't know if there's more drama to come and all the other things. I'm sure eventually it'll catch up with us. But, boy, it was nice yesterday. It was nice to get the win. It was nice to feel the way that we felt. It was nice to see everybody just so emotional and so happy to see that win and to see everything go the way it went. And I'm seeing the picture of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry bringing Jim's family the game ball from yesterday. It's just a wonderful thing for everybody. And I'd say everybody involved, but I think everyone was involved. Every Browns fan worldwide was involved yesterday and carrying a heavy heart into the game. And certainly very excited and very happy, not just for the win, but obviously on a day where, boy, it was therapeutic and we needed it.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
We finally had a Browns game. Whether they I would have said it win or lose, by the way. No one would want to hear it if we end up losing on the last second, you know, Lamar Jackson scenario. But it was fun. And it felt like everybody was actually having fun. We could break down a game again. We could talk about decisions. We could talk about big plays. We could talk about receivers that have been unheralded up to this point in their careers. And it was just fun. And Chubb looked a little more like Chubb. Offensive line looked a little more like Brown's offensive line. You had guys flying around on defense, some of which you didn't even know who they were. And they were flying around on defense. It was just an awesome, awesome afternoon. And I'm so jealous of the people that got to take that one in live. I mean, what, Owen, you said tickets were down to $25?
29 is what I saw 2 hours before kickoff.
But what a game. What a game to be at. The weather was perfect. Yeah. I saw some guy in the upper deck had his shirt off at one point there when the cameras went to him. It was just awesome. Everything about it was awesome.
It was interesting. I heard during the broadcast, Tom McCarthy did a great job on TV. I know that we have a little bit of a relationship here in Cleveland with him. He did the preseason games for a couple of seasons. But they did a wonderful presentation yesterday. And we'll play that here in a second. I saw the tribute to Jim. But it was interesting because they said that, you know, they talked to Nick Chubb before the game and he said he didn't know how the fans were going to react. And I'm thinking, well, they're mad at you. It doesn't mean they don't love you. And they might be mad, and they were mad. And I do think that people going into the stadium because of the news of Jim's passing on Saturday, I think that did change how people were feeling headed into the stadium yesterday. I saw the billboards, the electronic billboards up and down the highways. I know it was on 480 and 77, so I imagine it was over on 71 and 90 coming into the tributes to Jim. Everything in the stadium, the moment of silence, everything there. I think it changed. And to see the win, it was great, but I'm sitting there thinking, well, they're mad. It doesn't mean they don't love you. They've been mad at you, and they were mad at you last week, certainly, that whole rigmarole that was going on. But it was nice to see. It looked like a full house. Looked like everybody. Most of the people were wearing orange. I only saw a few Ravens fans, to be honest with you. Maybe I saw some. Maybe some people saw different from me. I know that's always been a conversation. But I thought it was just a wonderful day. And that was something that was really sad. Really sad. So, you know, talking about Jim and his passing, I got texted Saturday in the afternoon. It didn't set in with me. It was probably just past noon. It didn't really set in with me until the team made the announcement, and then it was a little bit overwhelming when I got the notice on my watch. It was that he had passed. You know, yesterday was a tough morning. It was nice to, I mean, Kevin Harlan called in, Ian Eagle had called in. I mean, these are great men, great broadcasters, and sharing their history and their memories of Jim. It shows you just how much of a people person he really was and how much Browns fans are going to miss him.
Thursday night, Sunday Night Football, Chris Collinsworth even had nice words because that was his first partner in the booth to do an actual network game. It was Jim Donovan, and you can see the video, and it's incredible how young Chris Collinsworth, how just young he looks. He's straight off the football field, really. And it was truly clear that people around the league, I mean, they meant it. They knew about Jim. They talked about Jim. And it was so unfortunate that he wasn't able to start the year with the team. And you knew there was a certain gravity to that. You knew that obviously when he didn't show up, couldn't attend the ceremony at the stadium when his name went up, that hurt because we knew deep down inside, and you know, you almost didn't want to ask. You know, you got to a point where you're like, you didn't know what to say, you didn't know what to do. So it was very sad. I echo those sentiments.
Here is Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth yesterday remembering Jim Donovan, audio courtesy of NBC Sports.
All of us in the sports casting world saddened loss of Jim Donovan to cancer. Voice of the Cleveland Browns on radio for many years, but your first TV partner here at NBC.
First partner ever, just so immensely talented and loved, but one of the sweetest guys you'll ever meet, and he will be sorely missed.
He dedicated himself entirely to that job, and he was the sports director for WKYC, obviously for many years, and obviously took great pride. But he had immersed himself completely in being the voice of the Browns. I mean, to leave NBC Sports and doing national games, and I know that NBC had lost the rights, and he could go. They eventually lost the rights, and he could have gone to CBS or wherever he wanted to, because once you're calling games at NBC, one of the three major broadcasters out there, network broadcasters out there, four actually. You're probably good to go. And he stepped away from that to be the voice of the Browns in 99. And he's been dedicated to Browns fans ever since. That is a job where you have a relationship with the fans. And it's not a dedication to the team as much as it is a dedication to the fans and giving them the truth, but also being able to paint the picture as great as Jim could, being able to describe it. The emotion, you could tell it wasn't just a deep voice in a suit. It was a person who cared. It was a person who really cared about Browns fans and became a quintessential part of Cleveland. For us personally, I'm sure you share the same thing. With Danny gone a couple of weeks ago and with Les gone a couple of years ago, it's just, you know, your teachers are going. And so it becomes a more difficult thing over time.
Well, just everybody we watched or heard. And I was telling my wife yesterday, I'm like, this is like the seventh one of these shows we've had to do. And we go over it every time we start, me and you off the air. Like, man, it was, you know, Les and Fred McLeod and Michael Stanley and Joe Tate, Triv. I mean, over and over again, it's too frequent, to be honest. It's really too frequent. Now, maybe it's just because these guys lasted as long as they did, and it was terrific that they were able to have the extensive, lengthy careers that they did. So we did have a chance, you know, to see them so long. We were able to put off having to celebrate their lives for as long. And my mind went to the same place you did. It's like, man, how many of these shows? Yeah. But at the same time, it's in a way, I don't want it to put a damper. I want to think about just how much when we think about nostalgia and like why I got into this for a career, but not just getting into this for a career, just why you're a sports fan. And like, if you are of a certain age in this town, I mean, the curly haired guy from Boston doing the sports, that eventually you got to earn that acceptance. And he certainly did. And I just remember when I was young, and I knew I wanted to do this at a very early age in some capacity. And I saw Jim Donovan doing, I would always say Beasley Reese. I always remember him doing games with Beasley Reese in the national games. And I would always watch the games go, man, this is no disrespect to Beasley, but I'm like, man, Jim Donovan should be doing the biggest games in the country. Like he was on a rocket ship. How young was he when he started out on CBS and then got the Olympic duties?
Very young.
With Bob Costas. And he was a member, a select few that got the opportunity to do that. And you're right. When NBC lost the NFL, he absolutely could have gone anywhere and done it. And that was the other thing. When I was young, there were so few Clevelanders that I was seeing kind of carry that torch. There was like Vince Cellini. I remember, I think Bob Lee was on ESPN News. And I'm like, where are all the Cleveland guys? Well, Jim could have been one of those. He just obviously clearly was not only content, but absolutely loved doing it here and being able to cover sports. One other thing, I was at Akron on Saturday and they rushed to get a message up on the video board. And I was talking to some of the higher ups there and they're like, people have no idea. Like Jim covered us like we were Ohio State. And that really meant something to those people at Akron. And I just thought that was so cool. Like, he would take time out of his day to just catch up with the people at Akron. And I'm sure he was doing the same with Kent State, John Carroll, and Baldwin Wallace. Like, to me, that was really, really cool to hear that.
Yeah, it was, the way he taught things, I think people don't realize how in tune he was with people and media. He listened to a lot of sports talk radio, and he would always open up a conversation. Did you hear that failure in Mass the other day? And that's how he would do it. Because he would listen on his phone, and on the horse farm, he'd be riding around on the tractor on Saturdays, like during home weeks and stuff like that. He'd be riding around doing what they do on a horse farm, and he would be listening to play by play on his phone, on his apps of different places around the country. So he knew about guys who were doing play-by-play that people here would never, ever think of. You know, radio guys from across the Big Ten, across the country, the things that he did, the things that he heard. And he was the one regret I will always have about Jim is that he never did his own talk show. Yeah, he was always had such strong, great opinions.
Thing.
Yep, you know the same thing I do. He had such strong, great opinions. He had a way of doing it. He would have been fantastic. That's the only regret of all the great things Jim ever did. I'm glad I told him. I was like, man, I wish you would have done it. I really, really, really wish that at some point. I know his schedule was very, very difficult for a long time. It's like, man, if he could have done 2 hours in a midday somewhere at any of the stations from the course of the time he got here to now, I mean, it would have made it that much better. It would have made it that much better. But he was a true gift to Cleveland fans.
And by the way, he was a guy that, especially today in a sanitized world of sports where local, you know, the owners, the teams, they obviously want positive coverage. Well, Jim would give you the positive coverage if you earned it.
Yeah.
And if you didn't earn it, he wasn't going to give you cheap shots. He was not going to have an agenda or anything like that. I mean, my God, he was the play-by-play guy for an 0-16 team and a 1-15 team, and those are back-to-back years. And yet, he found a way to make those broadcasts fun, and he gave out tough love, I think it was fair to say,
because
that's what it was. It was love for the Cleveland Browns, but it was tough. But I think even ownership and the organization was like, it's Jim Donovan. If we didn't earn the homer call, we're not going to get the homer call. And that to me will always stick with me. He was able to do that and not lose that trust to the fans.
That day, who was that kicker went down there against Miami and missed like the four?
Parkey.
Parkey. And guess what? He missed it. Like, just, you don't get that. You're not going to get that.
He missed it.
You're not going to get that anywhere else. And it was just him and Doug and their relationship for years is something that... young people will never understand. I hate to tell you. Hopefully you can go back and listen to some of it, but to be there in the moment with Browns fans, whether you were driving down the highway, you were in the stadium, if you're in the backyard having to do what you had to do, that relationship, that'll never be duplicated. No offense to Andrew and Nathan, and they do a great job. They know that. They know that. It'll never be duplicated between those two again. That was something that was truly special for a long time.